Je suis à Cannes, au 71e festival du cinéma, exactement à la plage de Nespresso, où le temps se couvre. Et je suis avec Bénédicte Ellingson, bonjour.
Bonjour.
Qui est là pour son film Woman at War, qui est présenté à la Semaine de la Critique. So, Woman at War is a very heroic film with a lot of influences to mythology. But there's a part of drama as well, adventure. How did you have such an idea to mix genders?
You come from Italia or Swiss? Okay, I can say that
Italian speaking Swiss.
Yes, and then I can say, I imagine if Federico Fellini had the assignment to make an action film in Hollywood, what kind of film would that be? And I thought maybe he would, of course, call on the gods. You know, he would have Artemis, the protector of the wild and innocent, descend to earth to save the earth, save the world and the earth from its problems. So in a way, this is one of the inspiration behind the film. If Fellini would make an action film, so. There you have it. There's, you know, it's archetypes, and the problem is huge. It's challenging. We are facing a big catastrophe, and I think we have to tell stories about it. How we get out of this, not only dystopias, you know, films about the solution, fairy tale. We have to pep up our spirits for the big fight ahead. And I hope this film is though not an issue film or a propaganda film, but. It's a way of telling a story about very serious matters.
And the importance of mythology is important as well in your inspiration, I guess.
Yes, there's a lot of mythology you can draw from this, you know, where we were playing about this, you know, it's... well, you know, there are gods and goddesses, there are demons and angels in this film, you know. There is a Greek choir, in a way, the musicians, the trio of Ukrainians. They're like a Greek choir and inner spirits that are helping our heroine in her journey. And then there is this mythological, you know, journey of the hero. And there's a lot of two stakes. Save a child or do you save the child, one child, and thereby save the one, all the world? Or do you have to also to save the world? Because if there is no world for the child, why saving the child? So there's this great at stakes. There are big challenges in this heroic world, you know, the world of our hero.
And as any hero, I'm thinking of course, the Greek mythology. Yeah. Any hero has to do very difficult and very existential choices.
Yes, you know, there's this great. Astrid Lindgren, you know, the Swedish writer, she wrote these children books that is also inspiration behind my
What's
life.
What's the title?
Well, she has written many, like Pippi Langstrump is one, the brother Lionhearted, you know, she's really...
Famous for children.
Yeah, children stories. She is our Nordic Cervantes, you can say. Astrid Lindgren. And she has... In one of her stories, these two character brothers talk together, and the older brother says, "There are sometimes times where you have to do things, even though they are both dangerous and difficult." And the brother asks the little brother, "Why? Why do we have to do a dangerous, difficult thing?" And the older brother answers, "Because if we don't do them, we are not really a human beings. We are just little shits." You know, so this is a story about a heroine that wants to be a real human being, do the dangerous and difficult things because she has to do it. She wants to be at use.
So in that sense, I'm just taking what you're saying. The human part is very important as well. Humanity is very important.
Humanity. Yes, humanity. Yes, humanity is at stakes every day in our lives, and there. In this film, of course.
And the film is very... It's putting into on the stage the main actress. How did you cast her? How did you? I guess it was difficult because you had an idea in your mind about your heroine.
Yeah, and she's a twin. The twin heroine. Well, it was an obvious choice, and then very long journey. You know,
I
went
to cast.
I went over the river to get the water because Haldóra is my childhood friend and colleague and a professional sister, and we have been working a lot together in theater in Iceland since we were children. And but I had a lot of ideas and I was looking, and so there was a casting process, and you know, so it was, you know, fate brought her back to me, and afterwards she is like the only choice. She is more than obvious a choice. She is the hero.
She is the one.
Mm.
And how do you work with her? Because I guess you have to some expectation. What's your way to work?
You know, it's very simple. We talk together, and we understand each other, and we know that we have to practice and. As you say, do it again is the best friend of the actor. And we have a lingo. We come from the theater, so we can press each other buttons. She's also a director. Mm. She's very technical. She's very musical. And she has also, you know, this improvisation talent.
Multiple talents.
Yeah. She is like, you know, as I often said, you cannot call her an actress or actor. She's just acting being. See, gender is no issue for her. She has done a famous productions in Iceland as Don Quixote, mm-hmm. playing him, the guy himself. She has done Vladimir, a male role in Waiting for Godot. And so gender is not an issue. And then she's a very famous comedian, that she stars as a comedian in Icelandic seen as a clown, but is also very well established as a very dramatical actress, you know, so she has many faces.
In Iceland, fairy tales are very important, and there's a part of fairy tales in your movie as well.
Yeah, we couldn't call them Icelandic sagas. We you know, that's maybe not a fairy tale, but the fairy tale is a nice word to play with when you write the script, you know, because there is some mystic in it, and there is a license to do things that don't have to be always logical. So it was, you know, I don't work with genre. I'm not interested in genre, not in the creative process. But this word fairy tale, if you can call that a genre, it was, you know, an inspiring word.
And at the beginning of the interview, you were mentioning Fellini. Mm. Is it a source of inspiration, or do you have any other very famous filmmakers who would inspire you as well?
Well, yes, I could start to name drop now, here to the moon. We are all our projects or products of some ideas and other people's in before us. I've been inspired by many filmmakers, and I could, you know, in many sense, you know, talk about them. They are very different. You know, I could talk about Tarkovsky. Mm. It's a very different filmmaker.
Yeah. When I watched the movie, actually, I said, there's something from Tarkovsky.
Oh, yeah, thank you. I would never expect that. But, yeah. You know, I always sometimes say I want to be on the set. I want to be Tarkovsky.
But to film landscape.
Yeah, so. But when it comes to the editing, I end up like Woody Allen.
So it is less psychology, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Less.
So you can say I want to be a poem, but really I am a storyteller. So I go to the storyteller, poem storyteller. You know, what space do you take us? You take yourself. Mm. So. But, you know, Tarkovsky is a great inspiration, but also, you know, Costa Rica, Pasolini,
Kaurismäki,
exactly, Kaurismäki. So I'm a product of many influences.
A bunch of,
From both south and north and east, and Chaplin, you know, and Buster Keaton, they were the first guys. And then Truffaut, you know, the 400 blows, Truffaut. You know, when I saw that film, I thought, okay,
they get some cool.
Yeah, I thought, I have to be a filmmaker. It is a turning point in my career, you know, that film. So, you know, we are multicultural we are product of the world. So there's and then you have all the literature also. Sometimes I think literature is more influential in many senses, you know, and
because good. During century it was the only let's say access to intellectual material.
Yes,
it's so
storytelling. Filmmaker is just the one part of the branch of storytelling. It's a very young branch, and you can see the influence of films in literature. Also, you can see how some writers are sometimes writing their stuff like it would be filmed. You know, they're putting up the scene very filmatic. So film has been, of course, influenced from the beginning, from theater and storytelling, you know, takes its own form and influences others. But I think it's time sometimes for film to look back and be influenced again by theater, for example. Experimental theater, you know, what they're doing in new theater in Germany. They are experimenting with dramaturgy, with storytelling, with so many things. And it amazes me how sometimes films become a little bit stuck in their own schema. Mm-hmm. There are not many filmmakers that are trying to break the schema. They exist, but they are not many.
Do you have to answer? So you were saying it's important to keep open to other...
Yeah, keep open
well,
to
expression.
Yes, I think it's... you know, we have many... I think in general theater people has gone to a cinema. I think cinema people has sometimes to go to theater. When they say, oh, you're from the theater, I'm surprised how cinematic your films are, then I think, what kind of theater have you been seeing? You know, maybe just talking heads in a sofa. It's really old theater, and theater has become really visual, where it's about, you know, acrobatics sometimes to fill the frame, you know, and tell the story without the text, you know. Dance theater, you know, I can talk about Pina Bausch, Robert Wilson, I can talk about, you know, Peter Brook, you know, there are...
Béjart,
Andrea Mushkin, you know, this is so visual theater, some of this is so, you can... Well, say the word cinematic, but it's not a word. But I'm sometimes really surprised how the influence is not so much from theater now to cinema, where you are sometimes in art house film really focused on the social realism.
In theater, decoration are very important. And in your movie, the way you film the landscape, it's very pictorial. It's like a painter. So painting is very important as well in your work, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know, it's both a blessing and curse for Icelandic filmmakers, this landscape that we have all around us. It's you can easily be seduced and go for the landscape and leave the story for the landscape. So we are surrounded in a palace of beautiful landscape. So
you mean in Iceland?
Yeah, in Iceland. But you know, when you are, you know, putting up a frame, every frame has to have its energy, tension, shape, and you have all art history, you know, frames. That is, you know, it comes very naturally to me and Besti. You know, we are interested in to make a frame that is three dimensional or whatever. So it's obvious when you are blessed with all of these surroundings that you know, do something interesting with them.
Yeah, you create like... And music is very important as well. Can you tell us, how did you work on the music and with the musician?
The music was an essential thing from the beginning of the film, from the beginning of the idea. It was a musical idea. Guys, do you have something at a blanket or something?
Okay, about the music.
It's essential in the first idea of the film that I could do an action film, and this should be have a live musicians. You know, I'm that kind of audience. You know, action films, you know, with a hero saving the world, it's a little bit old stuff to for me to watch. I need some entertainment extra. I need some other aspect to be interested. So you can say I'm my marketing group, me and myself, demanded some musical activity and excitement in this ideas.
It was composed for the movie.
Exactly. David Thor Jónsson, the composer, a great composer that I've worked a lot with in the theater, and did the score in the horse film, and he's the composer of this music, and his band Magnus the drummer and Omar the sousaphone players, and then the Ukrainian ladies Susanna Karpenko and her team Galina and Irina, they come up with ideas of the melodies that we chose of, and then we made some poetry in Ukrainian to let them sing, and so it's we choose the music in really on early stages in the film, because everything had to be pre-recorded. So in a way the music is part of the writing process. In that sense, that is really, everything was recorded long before, and then yet we are playing live music on set and recording on set as a strategy all the time.
And you would try to adapt your film according to the music, or it was already matching together?
Yeah, well, the thing was to be so organized there and so you know, developed, and that we would not, I would not end in a trap in the editing room where I had a great piece of music but had to cut it because the scene could not be so long. So we were doing a lot of preparation work to avoid this and to really find the timing and essence of this. So it was, and it, you know, we storyboarded all the music scenes, we shot them, demo, you know, and edited them, you know, before we did it for real. So so we were prepared.
And do you have any kind of musical influences that would influence that composition for your movie?
The strange with this music, David thought that it was created, it came, it has its own element, and it, I think it came, was beamed to us, because the music of the band is very simple in a way. It's very rhythmical and like one element, bam, bam, bam. They are one element. They are in the choir of seniors, or, you know, that are saying to her, fight on, do this, making the soundtrack of the Sabotagist. Then the Ukrainians, they are other kind of element. They are the motherhood, you know. So, and then you have the Icelandic choir music. So it was, in a way, we needed to have the music, you know, the band, you know, not playing the emotional score of the film. Together, this becomes an emotional score of the film. They are playing one element of it.
And now, Benedict, we are meeting at the Nespresso Beach at the Film Festival of Cannes. How do you feel being here with your movie, Woman at War?
I feel great. I feel blessed and
a
honored.
A bit freezing, but...
Yeah, it's freezing here now, but it was warm yesterday. No, it's really a nice thing for me. It's a great thing and blessing to be kind of have a, in this long journey that this film has taken 5 years. To can land it here and see if it takes off. And I feel really, really blessed and excited by the reaction it got. And I,
in Semaine de la Critique.
Yes. So it's you start to think that world is good and just for a moment. But we'll see.
And is it difficult when you get an idea, you're writing on a topic, is it difficult then in Iceland to get financial help?
Yeah, we have a small film fund. We are financing maybe 4 films every year, and there's a lot of good storytellers in Iceland, so there's a lot of competition. So it is not an easy thing, and you know, one of my key things that I could link up with Marianne Slot, it's Slot Machine, and we could really finance this film, France, Iceland, Ukraine. You know, this was, you know, the only way to make a film of this size, to do a co-production like this.
And now you are being here with a Woman at War. Are you already getting ideas, working on something?
Yeah, I have to do it. You know, we have launched some ideas, so I have to fill up. Yeah, but that will be nice. I'm really starting to think about my next project.
And you were talking a lot about theater. Mm. Do you still keep on being working on
yes.
stage?
Yes. I'm working now, this winter I'm putting a new
Reykjavik.
Play. Yes, in National Theatre in Reykjavik. I have a big production there in Mars, or in January, February, Mars, oh. Yes. So I'm working now, writing Two Horses a little bit, because as a filmmaker you cannot live on your film for 5 years, or just 1.5 years. So you have to do something between the films. But we hope that my next film will come faster. I have to go into the cave and come up with something.
And for your theater play you are going to put, are you working on the scenography?
No, in that sense I link up with the scenographer. It's the same. I have worked with the scenographer of this film, is Snorri Frey, that I have worked also a lot with in the theater. But in that sense, I work as with the author of the script, and he's developing the script, and sometimes I make adaptations of somebody else's work, or you know, of a book, or I have got in this case I have a good play, and that is all about the space, and scenography is the first. It's the work, my work and scenography together, and casting and preparing and creating the space around this, you know. And then we start to rehearse with actors for 8 weeks. So it is really interesting time there when we are
exchanging
ideas and finding the form of the play. That is really visual work, you know. We are working with models, we are working always with frame, or if we are in box or black box theater, and if the play is suited for a big scene, or is it suited for a small scene? Do you need the closeness? Can we make this a big theater with a big screen? You know, as we say, you know, old time theater is, you know, old theater is an old design. You know, in a way, the problem in big theaters is that audience have been damaged by the film. Because there you can have a big screen, you know, frame in front of you, but you can cut into a close-up, you know, a few other angles. But in theater you have a big screen, you know, but there is a tiny actor stairs down on the floor. You were sitting. So how do you make this a bigger visual experience? Do you have a ramp inside to the audience, or do you have the actors flying, or is this something
jumping,
you know,
from
jumping or making, you know? And some plays are suited for this, to make a bigger experience, a visual experience. And other plays are like, well, this play is suited for a more closer, you know, close-up of the audience.
But you've got plenty of sources of inspiration in theater as well, because you can play on the way actors appear.
Yes, theater is an endless source. It's really, you know, it's really interesting. I don't know about other countries, but in my country there is a strange cliff or a canyon between theater and film people. It's interesting how, you know, that is, and because they could inspire each other.
And Benedict, last question, since it's for Swiss people listening and reading them, do you have a link with Switzerland, cinema or theater?
I have a personal link. I had what do you tell you? I don't know. He lives in Swiss. I've never come to Swiss. I've never been in Swiss. But
next time you will come to Locarno Film Festival.
Yes. Well, but you know, Swiss is really a good metaphor. The revolt of the Swiss farmers and how they kept their independence. They were like men at war at that time. Found a new technique, you know, to fight the armored knights with their long spears. And that is the key thing, why they became independent and kept it. And this democracy that exists in Swiss, this old form of democracy, I think it's so beautiful, it's so important for Europe. And there is something in this Swiss story that is it is a great lesson to all nations and groups, and how we work together as a unit and become successful. So there is, and of course, my personal, I read a lot of anarchistic literature, as one Kropotkin and the Swiss watchmaker that were syndical anarchists. Mm. You know, they are a great inspiration. So one day I will make a film about a syndical anarchist in Swiss.
Great. Thank you, Benedict. Thank you so much.